So thank you so much, Jar, for coming on Blue Sky Radio. This is Radio Waterloo, 102.7 FM here in Kitchener-Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. I am so pleased and thankful and honored to have you on today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, it's indeed a pleasure. I love Canada. I spent some time there as an entertainer, doing concerts up there in my earlier days before I got with Motown. And then I've had the honor to be up there through Albert Volker, through the Save the Mustang Foundation, and spent 4 weeks up there traveling all over Canada talking to people who are in love with the horse and trying to save the last of the wild horses of Canada, as I've tried to do here in the United States of America.
Wow, that's really incredible. A lot of people aren't aware of the plight of the wild horses. We live in a very busy world where people sometimes don't even know that wild horses still exist.
Well, one of the beautiful things that is happening now, you know, in the motion picture industry has been very instrumental in showcasing some of the lives of some of the wild horses that have been more fortunate than others, like Hidalgo, like Flicker, and a little bit of the history that has come out of Australia about the Brumbies.
Yes.
So, and of course, the cowboy movies and of cowboys and Indians has always shown the expert riding of the indigenous people of this country and in Canada, and the beauty and what the Mustang, the wild horses, have contributed to building the civilization of not only Canada, but the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. Yeah, in Canada, we don't have as many wild horses left as in the U.S., and many of them are at risk due to resource development and urban sprawl and just all of, I guess, so many different reasons, the money that needs to be made and things like that. And here's another perspective that you're supporting, and it's really nice to hear. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what it is that you have been doing?
Well, one of the things that we've had problems with in the United States is the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, which was set up giving most of the control to the cattle industry and the sheep industry. And, of course, if you remember some of the old cowboys that were out, my being 76 years old and loving cowboys and Indians, they always showed the wild horses, you know, in a very favorable way, but now they don't need them anymore. The argument on the cattle herds and the sheep herds are overgrazing land, which is food and water. So, and also a lot of the destruction of the land where the wild horses live, which is mining, uranium mining, and there's just some of the, I think, the selfishness of the people who own massive amounts of land and overbreeding their stock.
Mm-hmm.
And not enough food and water for the wildlife, which is not only the horses, but are, of course, remember the buffaloes and the antelope and the deer and so many other animals that depend on that food, that overbreeding of domestic herds has definitely devastated. So to keep that safe, laws have been passed, which shouldn't have been passed, and stuck into bills that have made it possible for people to really go in and slaughter these animals in unbelievable ways. I mean, just shooting them and poisoning them and putting them in, you know, round them up and making sure they don't have food. And that's not to say that the ones that are being incarcerated by the BLM are treated poorly, but it's prison.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, it's totally out of the context of what they will be able to do on their own, which is to find their own food, their water, breed, trim themselves. They don't need farriers. They're really not affected by too many of the domestic diseases. And if you really want to look at the wild horse, it's probably the around the world, it's probably the healthiest horse left on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, I mean, we live in times where everything is at risk, really, and the forces that are working to accumulate more wealth and they won't stop. And like you said, these bills are snuck into legislation and things like that, and people usually don't even know really what's going on, and people that like to follow and know about the wild horses get to find out online and look at the pictures and the helicopters and the permanent holdings and how they're separating the animals. And like you say, they blame the horses for something that they couldn't have done. The wild horses don't destroy the environment. They, in fact, help it by being a grazer. They, you know, help to fertilize. They don't even really digest their food fully. Their stomach is different that way, so they can even help to spread seeds and things like that. Like, the wild horses could be an amazing help to sustain the environment. And it's nice to hear that you are so on board and you're a leader for wild horses. And you came to Canada to make the documentary Save the Mustang with Randy Bird and Albert Botha. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, one of the things we also found out in making the film and meeting beautifully the experience of hanging out and riding with and meeting Albert Botha and Randy Bird and the Hinnegritin Nation in the northernmost part of Canada, which is probably the last true horse culture that is like the Mongolians in Asia, that really live and surround their lives around the wild horse. I got a chance to spend time with them and fellowship and talk to the elders, and also to ride with them in one of the most adventurous rides I've ever taken in my life, which is the mountain ride race down the mountain, which was, when I first saw it, I said, oh, no, I know I can ride, but Jamie, Nettie, but they've been doing that for close to 500 years. So, you know, I've done some incredible riding. It's like seeing all of a sudden, if they asked me to go and play the part of the man who did the man from Snowy River and ride down that mountain like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have got to have done that a lot and really have a well-trained horse and have yourself prepared to take on a ride like that. So it was an experience. I did it not in total slow-mo, but at least I can say I did it. And I don't know too many horsemen around that would want to even try that. But one of the things we found out is because the wild horses are not short with the medicines for worming and the diseases and stuff, their meat is like the meat of the deer, the wild antelope. So in selling horse meat, which is now becoming a very popular thing on this planet, the wild horse is considered to be like a deer. The meat is, hasn't been contaminated like domesticated horses. And we've been trying to watch out for what's happening with the slaughter horses and the domesticated horses that no one wants anymore, because there is no, caring about whether in selling horse meat, if they sell a domesticated horse that is full of really poison, or a wild horse. So we're trying to address that as well. But I was honored. Albert Botha gave me a call. I guess we kind of ran into each other because we were both trying to save wild horses. They came to the United States of America and adopted 13 horses because the BLM was saying that the young horses were worth saving, but the horses over 12 years old were not, because they were aging and couldn't be done anything with. And Randy Bird, an incredible horseman, proved them wrong, and they did a film on that, and then they extended the awareness. So, you know, being in the entertainment industry myself, knowing what it is to promote a record and an album or a film, if I'm in a movie, which I'm also an actor, one of the things with that is you have to be aware that exposure, to tell your story, that if you're not have a way to get it out there and get it marketed and get it out in front of the public, which in the early days the wild horse had great exposure because of the cowboy movies. And the cowboys, so we were always learning about Indians and buffalo and wild horses, and we fell in love with them. The new media right now, which is the World Wide Web, and of course television and stuff like that, that wasn't around then as much as it is now, didn't really tell the stories of what has happened to the horses and what they have meant to mankind. We took their jobs, airplanes, trains, cars, all sorts of things that put them out of work. But the civilization was built through them.
Yeah.
And so we don't appreciate that anymore. And we need a way. What I've done is to try and find, and Albert Bother and people in film and a lot of the people who are fighting to save these horses, realize that we've got to make some more movies. We've got to, I've approached it musically. Of course, I've done some films and stuff like this on this topic, but I've written music about these and done videos so that if you're going to go to Top 40 or you're going to go to radio and you're going to go to music videos, which are very popular among youth and us all, I want there to be some videos about horses and stories about, like we say, I broke my country and western says, my truck broke down, I lost my wife, the dog died. you got all that, but I want to see something in there about they're not treating my horse right, and I don't like that. And maybe I need to go out and get a fifth of Jack Daniels and pay him a visit and see if I can't convince him on that this is my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a dog. So my horse has always been, and the horses that I work with, I consider horses my soulmates. And of course, the ones that I still ride, that are my special horses, that I still do endurance with, and have been fortunate enough to do endurance around almost around the world. And I've fallen in love with a sport that I'm hoping will grow. Endurance is, I think, the future of saving the horse and building the 21st century horse and the 21st century horseman. And I'd like to see that sport come out. Thoroughbred horse racing, which I didn't really like, is down now. That'll never come back on the level it was. It's got to compete with keno and casinos and gambling and all of that. But I think if we, through my charity and the kind of work I do with training kids, I try to do entry level, which I think entry level is the most important thing to back on this planet, which creates the 21st century horseman, which makes those kids grow up to want to buy a horse, have a horse, love a horse, fight for horse protection. So I'm noticing that entry level, or just a natural ride, the experience of what I had as a kid of jumping on a horse at 3 years old. My grandfather put me on that horse and I'd go bareback and just ride. And as I grew up and got into rock and roll and a whole lot of good stuff and dumb stuff and almost lost myself to sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it was the horse that saved me. I went back and started riding, then bought a horse, then got married and had a son and told him to ride. So my pleasure became the horse, free-spirited riding on this planet called Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. Horses save people's lives for sure. I have a similar story myself as far as being introduced to horses in my childhood. And there was a lot of trouble in my childhood, in my family home and things like that. And horses were a sanctuary and where I could feel safe. And it's a place that provides breathing room, I think, for people, and especially children and youth desperately need that nowadays. There's so much pressure. As adults, you feel this pressure to perform, and you worry about the future, and children shouldn't have to worry about the future. They should inherit the beautiful place that the earth is. So I love what you do, Jar. I love your passion. Do you want to talk about your 501 Project Arrowhead organization?
Yes, I, one of the things that happened being a man of color and Native American and African American heritage, my father was Blackfoot, French, and African American. My mother was Cherokee, Irish, African American. So I'm more or less a Heinz 57, but I have a lot of the indigenous blood in me, which I'm very proud of. And so, when the barriers broke down in music and sports for people of color, opportunities were the first opportunities to create a way of making money without having to be a laborer. To participate in sports and film and entertainment, being able to do that allowed me to make quite a lot of money. And that afforded me to have my dream, which is one day to have my own ranch, which I very much love. And in that, I started to had a son, and I had to raise him. And when he came home, some of his friends would come home, and they would say, you know, we've never seen a black cowboy or a black horseman. And I started talking to them about that and giving them a little history, and they stuck around. They wanted to learn to ride, so I started teaching them to ride, and a lot of those kids were going through exactly what you said you went through with, you know, problems at home, which my family situation wasn't the best, but we got through it, and they did a documentary not too long on my life. It's out now. It's won 7 major film awards, film festival awards, and we're about to premiere it here in the United States in Maryland, which is the state I live in. Hopefully we can get it to Canada.
Yeah.
Called Journey of a Horseman. But I started off with working with the kids, and then I lost 42 friends to AIDS in the entertainment industry. And I said, the same way I look at, no one's telling the story of the horses. No one's telling the story of really what AIDS is and how you get it, and how to protect yourself, which is basically safe sex or no sex. So I put a 501c3 together on an educational platform to talk about that and to talk about how to educate all the way down when I was looking at the educational system going on AIDS, which was the kids. So, and getting kids to understand, you know, when you send your kid out to talk about don't get in someone's car or don't do this or don't do that, it's the same thing as if anyone improperly touches you or approaches you, to tell somebody.
Yeah.
So in that program, I used the horse to talk about drugs, staying in school, getting your education, aware of the pedophiles and the problems out there. And through the horse, I gained their trust. And when I gained their trust, they started to listen to what I would like them to think about and look at. And so they applied effort to implementing those things I was teaching them. And then I told them very simply, I said, you know, time works for everybody, and it doesn't speed up or slow down for anybody. So be patient with time to gain progress. And that was a part of my own life. You know, it took time for a man of color and my heritage in America to finally get the civil rights movements and to get the vote and to be respected just as another human being, not black, white, or Catholic, or Jewish, just as another human being trying to survive on Mother Earth. And so far, it's been a good journey. It's been rough, but I really thank the man upstairs, the Great Spirit, and I'm trying to do some of that work. We're getting human beings to realize it's not about a city or a town or a religion. This is a planet, and we're all here trying to survive. And if we believe in anything greater than ourselves, we understand that the man upstairs sent his son here to try and help us all understand we got to get along together. We got to learn to dance the dance of life together. And that's something that this thing called humanity seems to keep falling behind on. The life is about we, us, not you, not me.
Mm-hmm.
So the work of Mr. Gowerhead is I guess the easiest way is to say that I brought a horse and children together. And it's like animals have always, whether you're seniors or you're veterans or whatever, has always been able to touch the hearts and the souls of people who are in pain or who are seeking some trust and some love in their life. So the horse is a medicine. It helped me, it saved me, and I'm trying to use it to do the same thing with the future of humanity, which are the children.
Wow. That is so amazing. I'm so happy to hear about the documentary about your life. It sounds like I know it's going to come to Canada, because they're going to want it here, that's for sure. And
we're trying to do that. I'm trying to use the film as a way to raise money for some of the programs like Project Arrowhead that Canada has.
Yeah.
And that in many cities and places in the United States, I was fortunate enough to be invited by the royal families to the Middle East. First time, the United Arab Emirates. And I did a great race there. And the second time, I was invited to Qatar, where they have an event called the Qatar Desert Marathon. And I met the Duchess of York. And she had a 501c3 as well as I did. And it was called Choices for Children. children in crisis, and it was the charity that her and Princess Di had put together to save children, you know, around the world. One of their main projects were the mines that were left over from wars that the kids would be playing out in the fields after the wars and blow their legs off and would be killed. So she came to Qatar to do this ride. And she was riding with sponsors from around the world that had said, every mile you cover in this race, we will give money to the World Children's Charity that you and Princess Di have put together. And the race was a little more grueling than she thought it was, and I was asked to escort her through the ride. And I did that, and we raised quite a bit of money in that ride, and she finished it. And so that was the first time I saw that getting outside help from corporations and from people to put up money for some of the equestrian events that we could do to raise the funds, because you're going to need funds. You can't do this with just volunteers.
No.
So I've been trying to organize a ride here, and I'm trying to talk to some friends of mine in Canada about a marathon. One of the beautiful things that I've noticed in sports, the Boston and New York Marathon started off with no money. It was just something that people enjoyed doing, running for competition. But now it's one of the highest paid races for runners. And then now they started doing it with bicyclists. And so we're seeing that if you put a sport together and you can have it also back, something that empowers children and humanity. And I would like to see that happen with the horse industry. If the equestrian industry were to come together and put on sporting events that would raise money for these programs that we need, we wouldn't need the government and anybody else to support the horse industry. We'd be able to support ourselves and create the 21st century horseman into a world of sports with horses beyond our belief.
That is such a good idea. That is amazing. And, getting the word out there about that. And you know what? I think about that all the time, how in the sports world, people get along from all different places. Like even lately with the troubles we've had with the president and saying something about the Canadian prime minister. And a few days after that, I was listening to, they were talking about Mexico and Canada and the U.S. and talking about soccer and everybody's getting along. And I keep thinking to myself, how come people get along, but the politicians never seem to get along? But regular people, like we all have a good heart on us, and we just try to work for the betterment of our community. And what you're talking about is a really good idea. And I, you know what, you're going to get that up and running, and I can't wait to see it.
I'm going to work on getting it running. You know, we all got to realize that one thing we have in common as humanity is we breed. And when we breed, we create the future of mankind, which are the children. If we want us to think better about each other, and work together and love each other and trust each other, we got to realize that we have got to teach the children who are going to be the future of mankind, which we're not doing a very good job at, that it's about we and us, and that we got to learn to love each other and work together, and that we're all here to learn to dance this dance of life together.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we got to stop thinking about me. And I notice most of the people who are running the governments, I'm not saying all, I don't like to generalize, but I'm saying the importance don't seem to be the empowerment of a better thinking human being. It's they seem to think that the most important thing is themselves here and now, and how much money they can have and how much control and power they can have over the rest of us. And that's created revolution since the beginning of mankind. If we don't watch ourselves, we're going to be into another one of those revolutions. So I'm fighting hard, and I see a lot of other people out there fighting hard to understand that we all have children.
Yeah.
Why would you want your child to be more empowered than mine? Why don't you treat me the way you would want me to treat you?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a we thing, not a me thing. So, and I'm looking at what's happening here around the world with children. What's happening in this country, in the United States, on kids being taken from their parents. I mean, I don't really understand why the churches, why all of the foundations for children, every organization out there that is trying to help youth, isn't up in arms about this. It's starting to look like it may get the support it needs to rescind this policy. But I sit down and I look at this stuff and I listen to this stuff, and I mean, I'm a very strong man, and tears just comes in my eyes. So that's how we treat the children.
Yeah.
Why are we treating? Okay, if we want to treat each other like that after we grow up, I don't like that either. But why are we treating the children like that? And then expecting the world to get better. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
So the horse is the medicine that I'm trying to use. Because that's an intimidation in itself. You know, being a child and looking at the size of growing up to be an adult. When a child walks up and looks at a horse, it's big. A lot of times the first question that comes out of a child's mouth to me, does it bite? Does it kick? I don't want to touch it. And so I have to really work with that child to get them to trust me as a sensei, as a teacher, to know this horse, to touch this horse, to understand this animal, to get on its back. So it has to have someone there as a sensei and a teacher to really bring out that trust. And so I'm noticing that a lot of the stuff that is going on this planet with humanity right now is that they are not the reason why the children have problems, because they don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
They've been lied to, beat, cheated, raped, abused, kicked out of homes. And we look at that and wonder why the juvenile department and our jails and stuff are so full. We're not investing the time and the finances and the money into the future of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little hairy, but you know something? There's a lot of people out there in Canada, America, and around the world who are standing up for this. And so I have a little faith, and I do believe that if we stick together, we can change.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And our community is the world. You're right. It's all of us in it together. And it doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter where you're from. It just matters that, you know, you want the world to be a better place, and we can have this conversation, and we should be thinking about the future. And politics, like you say, it's getting hairy. But, you know, before it gets better, maybe it has to get worse before people realize that you can't just give away all the power to politicians and believe they're going to make the best decisions for us, because apparently they're not.
But you're also, you know, recognizing that... You know, I come up from a hard time. I never wanted to be a millionaire or a billionaire. I just wanted to make enough money to get my little horse ranch, raise my children, and go out there and do a little rock and rolling here and there, because I do love music. And that's the universal language for me. And I realized that among musicians, and when I went on road with horse people, that we had something in common. Music, show business, horses. There was very little arguing going on in those aspects. Of course, the horse industry has got to learn that we love horses, not just thoroughbreds or quarter horses or Pasifinas or the top horses, the Hanoverians. That a horse is a horse, like Mr. Ed said, of course, of course, of course. And if you love horses, you love horses.
Yeah.
So if you love children, you love children.
Yeah.
Whether they're black, white, or whatever religion. So I just keep a conversation going whenever I run into conversations about that reality. I say, you know something? Whether you like it or not, life and living is about we. Not about you. Not about me. We. Us. And when we learn to do that and bring that together, then we will realize that we have put a thing in place that will make us work together.
Mm-hmm.
Care about each other. Be there for each other. And that's another lesson I learned when I went in the military. I did 8 years in the military. And that wasn't about that whole thing when you're out there fighting a war, a bullet doesn't discriminate. So everybody in the military was about we. Let's get out of here. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
It formed a brotherhood and a we-ness. And I'm finding out now that I'm being approached by the Veterans Administration in the United States because they think that my Project Albert Here program for the kids would be great for the vets. So I am now meeting with the Veterans Administration in the state of Maryland. And I think that's going to be something that's going to turn. It's already being done. They're already working with the vets. But the Veterans Administration also has a program for kids, because the kids get stressed out. Their father comes home with no legs. Their father gets killed in a war. These kids get stressed out. So I've been working with those kind of kids as well, with the horse,
mm-hmm.
the spirit of the horse. And that horse is a medicine. I'm telling you, it's a powerful medicine. So I just love talking to you and people and my friends in Canada and the people I know around the world, since I've been fortunate enough to get John Horseman name, face recognition pretty much around the world in the horse world. And I find that wherever I go, even when I went to the Middle East, they told me you shouldn't go there. They're cutting off America's heads over it. I says, I'm going over there as the guest of the royal family.
Yeah.
I said, it's about horses. I'm not going over there about Allah and God and all the other stuff that they are having to defend themselves about. I'm going over to talk to them about something that we have in common.
Yeah.
Which is the horse.
Yeah.
And I had no problems. I had a ball. Yeah. Had a ball.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're creating alliances that, you know, are outside of nationality or country border and things like that, like just among people. It's time to have a good life. I mean, there's been so much struggle. It seems like since the beginning of time, people have struggled one way or another, and we thought it was getting better, but somehow it got worse. And it's really time for people to step up, and especially for people who are able to, because not everybody has the ability. Some people are struggling to the point that the only thing they can do is to try and get through the day, and they especially need our help. And children are innocent, and they definitely need our help, and that's where it's at. So I'm so excited. I've been excited all day and yesterday, and just looking forward to this conversation, and thank you for everything that you do. And before I called you, I played your song, I Ride Horses, and I played Choice this as well for the people.
All right. Well, I wrote a song also, which I'm going to send you a couple of the albums, and the one that I put out an album to raise funding for these children's programs and to bring awareness to the horse is called I Ride Horses. And one of the songs on there is a song called Horse, which I hope will become the anthem for horse lovers around the world. I wrote this out of my love for the horse, and I'd like to use that, and I'm going to try and use part of the film and part of the album to raise money for these foundations, because Project Arrowhead, we write grants, we are looking for funding from corporations, from private concerns, and it takes money. So I'm trying to create, with that gift that God gave me to be in the entertainment industry, a way to raise funding and money mm-hmm. for this without always having to beg. Because sometimes a donation here for an album of $2 off of an album, or a third of the ticket price for a film or a concert, coming and performing in concert, and a third of the money goes to these foundations, is another way to make money that we can do ourselves. And so I'm at 76, I'm looking at my future and keep going on until I can't go on no more to see if I can't help raise the funding. Because every time I try to say that this is just going to happen, I realize we now have the internet, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have all these things that advance man in technology. But about how we feel about each other and how we care about each other, we've advanced about 15 feet from the cave.
Yeah.
So I believe that there's enough of us still alive who believe in we.
I believe you're right, because otherwise I don't think we would be here at this point even. People are complacent sometimes, and it takes difficult situations that to make them realize that, hey, maybe I'm following the long leader or the wrong leader. Maybe I need to, you know, check myself, or I need to figure it out. And people are coming around. I believe that they are.
Well, you know, I think an artist I got to work with. I was with Motown. I got the tour with Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 and all the Motown pretty much top stars. And Michael grew up and wrote a song called The Man in the Mirror.
Yeah.
Who can it be? So, you know, I think if with all the people with their ideologies about what's right and wrong, it starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
You just take a look in the mirror at you and see what you're doing or what you're not doing to make the world better and to make us care about each other and be concerned about each other a little bit more. Because it starts with you. It starts with me. And that mirror does not lie.
It's very true.
So I thank Canada. I thank you, Yeti. I thank Kat Bates and Christine Galan and Linda and Albert Botha, and of course Randy Berg, and a lot of the friends I made with the Henry Grattan Nation. I thank you all. because I come from the United States, but I tell you what, I really look at when I go to Canada, and I haven't been down to Mexico. This is called the Americas, and Canada says it's Canada, and the United States says it's the United States, but this is America. We are a part of the continent called America, and I have so much looked at the respect and the fun that we have crossed the borders when we come to Canada and Canadians come here and the friends I have made and that camaraderie. I apologize. Maybe I can't apologize for the President of the United States for his attitude towards Canada, but as an American here who appreciate you all as our neighbors, you have shown me a great time, and I've been welcome there, and I've welcomed quite a few of you all down here to hang out with this crazy man down here in the United States. So I hope that relationship just gets better and better and better, and I'm enjoying the time that I get to spend in Canada and the people I've met there.
Thank you. And you're right, there are lots and lots and lots of Americans that are amazing people. I talk to them almost every day, and you're one of them. And you know, usually it's a few people making a bad name, and it gets generalized, and we can't generalize to that point. And the president, he may have some followers, but many, many more people have seen you know, the light in a different way, and it's on from there. So thank you so much for talking to me today. I just hope that we'll have a chance to catch back up again. And when are kids coming out to your project, the Arrowhead? Is it something that's starting soon?
It's going to be starting probably within the next 6 to 8 weeks. And we are getting ready for that. And I am... Like I said, we talked earlier about people we have in common, like Cat Bates and Christine Galan, Linda, and of course Randy Bird and Albert Botha, Save the Mustang Foundation, and the people who are part of that, maybe there's a way for us to continue this work and this conversation,
yeah,
make it more of a visual way for people to see the work and understand the work and be a part of the work.
Yeah.
And media is a big part of that, so I'm working hard to get up there. We're working on finding the producers and of course the sponsors that would like to put on something in Canada, not only with me, but me being a part of a project that would be a team effort on a lot of the top people in Canada who are doing great work with kids and horses. So as we go on with that, I'm going to send you a package, my promo package, and I think that way you'll get to hear horse and a lot of the music that I've written about horses and horse lovers, and maybe through that we can bring some more attention to, we can solve this problem.
Sounds good. Sounds amazing, actually. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I wish you all the best, and God bless us all in the work we try to do to be the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jar.
Thank you, Yanni. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Canada.
Thank you, Canada, and thank you, the United States, and thanks, the world. Thank the world.
Thankful.
We're just thankful today. So, all right. Well, have a really great rest of your day, and stay hydrated, and we'll talk soon again.
I'm going to go get on a horse. We woke up this morning talking. I was telling you I was hanging out with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go hang out with my horse.
Oh, I'm jealous. Sounds really nice.
Okay, peace and love.
Peace and love. Have fun. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, ciao.
Ciao.